And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Interfered here on Declare Your Independence and me, Ernest Hancock. We're in Henniker again, Henniker, New Hampshire, at Jay Noon's spread. And, you know, we had a lot of experiences, you know, on this trip, and certainly yesterday was no exception. We went, we were in Virgins, Vermont, where there is some interesting things being uncovered on how they, them, those, you know, suck the life out of every community they can. Even a teeny-weeny little space of one square mile town of how much can we freaking rape the taxpayers. So we're going to be following that. And they got a special election coming up this week or next week, I think. Half of the city council and the mayor resigned. They just said, "Now we're out of it. You're finding out too much stuff, man, you know." And so that was a special election. We'll see. We're going to follow that town. I want because it's an example. It's an example. And when we left, Don and I, we wanted to go eat. Everything was closed. And then we found a restaurant 15 miles away. Go in. They said, "Yeah, you need a mask to walk over to that table over there." But the big thing was, you know, I just walked over and sat down at the table, you know. But they had to fill out a forward tracing contact COVID, we need your phone number form. And I go, no. Because we've had stories on Freedom's Phoenix. What happens? All of a sudden, somebody that had ever gone to that restaurant test positive for COVID, and then they go knocking on your door, and they show up and say, "Hey, I see you went to this restaurant where this guy tested for COVID. We got something." What do they got to do? I don't know. I don't care. I don't want to find out. And this is happening. So I'm going, nope, we're done. Then we go to, we said, and we got out of everything we could to get out of New York when we were coming back west. And we just know we'll go into Vermont. It won't be as bad. It is as bad. And you could see it was Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, man, Trump flags everywhere. You hit Vermont, not so many, more Black Lives Matter yard signs. A little bit, we support our local police kind of thing, but man, there were at least as many Black Lives Matter, and it was everything. Everybody was virtue signaling everything. I'd drive around with my gloves and mask. I mean, it was amazing, the difference that you see state to state, just across an imaginary line. Then we go into New Hampshire, and we went to two different campgrounds, and they both required that you fill out a COVID contact tracing form of turn it over to the man. And I'm going, I think we'll decline. And we just wound up going to Jay's, you know, because it wasn't that far away. We were a few miles away. We were just going to, you know, give him a break. And he's like, "Nah, come on down. I got your spot for you." So, you know, all right, so we're here. Hello. Now, what we're going to do today is we have Aria DiMezzo, which is the shemale Satanist, anarchist, whatever label she threw up there as much as she could to get as much attention as possible, and then just trolling the crap out of the election process, running for sheriff here in New Hampshire as the Cheshire County Sheriff candidate for the Republicans, going up against an incumbent Democrat, and got international news. It was all over Europe, United Kingdom, big newspapers had us on Drudge Reports everywhere. And what we did is we put up, if you go to Declare Your Independence, you'll see Ernest Hancock on Free Talk Live with Jay Noon and Aria. Now, Aria is a co-host on Free Talk Live, which is on a couple hundred stations, you know, around the country, various different times. And Free Talk Live, the owner is also has LRN, this network. Now, so I know Aria for years. She's been at different festivals and so on and met. And, yeah, she's a man. You know, you want to know? Go listen to that show. Because I asked her, I go, Aria, man, I got a billion questions. Ask them. Go. All right, so you still got all your bits and pieces? You know, what kind of hormones you take? How much? Does it affect your sex drive? You know, how about the orgasm? You date women, too? Men? Kind of, I mean, I want to know everything. Because I want to know everything. So we did that. It was a great show. You found out. And, of course, you know, she had told me that, yep, I'm going to run for sheriff. And her and Ian doing it and having fun with it and trolling the whole system. It's right. Now, Rich is a guy named Nobody that changed his name to Nobody. You may hear his spots on the network. And what happens is he ran for governor as Nobody. You know, Nobody's going to stop the wars, and nobody's going to stop raising tax. Nobody vote for nobody. You know, cause, so this is how they're playing the system and taking the opportunity to spread their message of, well, we're going to find out in the third hour today. You know, Ari's going to come on. Maybe we can get Jay Noon in here, and you know, we'll have some fun. Now, first hour, we got Rick Kerp on from Michigan. Now, this is the family that we went and up in upper state Michigan. We showed them the love and had a bunch of signs. You know, we've made hundreds of signs. So we put them all up a bunch up the North Michigan. Then we went down west of Detroit, you know, less than an hour west of Detroit as home, set up a sign production. And then we started meeting local activists that already started waving signs and stuff. Hey, you guys making signs too? Well, let's go make some signs. We'll get some professional, semi-looking cool signs, and we'll just get it done. Well, now they're starting to go into the sign production here. This thing is coming to a head. And I want to talk to Rick Kerp. They're doing it. He's a patriarch of a family there that's, you know, got incentive, and they're working. You know, the wave of signs, has it become a conversation starter at all? Are you getting a feedback from the populace at all there, Rick?
Well, yeah, hey, Ernie, I've not talked to anybody much because, you know, they're all masked up and everything. So I don't know. I don't know what kind of impact it's getting. But, you know, I'm putting them out there, and they're, a lot of them are disappearing. So people are noticing, and, you know, the Karens are out there picking them up, I guess.
Well, does it stay up on the weekend and then they're done? Oh, man, it was Labor Day on Monday. They stayed up again and then they started going down on Tuesday? Is that kind of the pattern?
Yeah.
Municipal.
Yep, that's the pattern.
Yeah, no, that's paid for employee stuff. They don't care unless they're getting paid. Hey, I got a 3x5 card in my inbox that says go take down signs today. So, you know, they're getting paid. So, yeah, it's probably, you know, government employees. But, you know, tell the people, I haven't really asked you this question. Doing this sign thing is more, I mean, it's sharing and so on, but it's has to have some kind of a cathartic or an emotional impact on you, you know, just doing it.
Exactly. And that's why I'm doing it, because I need to do something. You know, I discussed it with you, you know, last time I talked with you. You know, I know it's coming. I know that it's all about mandated vaccinations. And if I don't do something now, it's going to be too late. So I got to do something.
You know, we have some, you know, big sign material for the support first responders who say no to mandatory shots. You know, that one is, I get special pleasure out of that one because I know the impact it had when we did it back in 2009.
Right, yeah. I need to get that from you because I don't have it. I was going to put that up.
Oh, I thought you had a big one of those.
I don't think I do, no.
Did we leave a stencil of that, dog? Man, if we don't, we got to get, oh, yeah, that's right. I think we just had one of those. Yeah, we got that big one. Oh, Derek! Derek, we'll be right back.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Up. We need to find out what's going. We're getting a pulse on what's happening, the people around the world. This is not just, you know, America. This is everywhere. You know, people are just kind of starting, yeah, this is, you're lying to us. You know, you get enough information out there by enough people, and the future is all about credibility. And the credibility of these guys is just, not so much. And then you have the campaign for president. But you know, a lot of people are ignoring all the congressional and the U.S. Senate and where does that go and our dead cat and, you know, am I allowed not to care? I don't know. You know, this is, it's just a side effect of an emotion, of a general public opinion where this goes. And I'm interested in, you know, Michigan has a special attention for everyone because the governor there has quadrupled down on, you know, Orange Man bad and everybody's got to wear a diaper. So, Rick, the rhetoric, do you pay attention to the news at all or the edicts from or social media of the governor says and the legislature and the campaigns? Give us a flavor of what's going on around you.
Well, I don't pay attention to it. I think it's a bunch of, you know, I don't follow it. I don't care. Anything she says, you know, she just wants to control me, so I don't want to listen to her. And I'm going to do everything I can to go against what she's saying. I mean, just, it's ridiculous. Now, I do have to keep a job, you know, so when I go to work, I have to mask up to get into my office, and then I take my mask off, and God, I hate it. You know, I hate it, but what am I going to do? I got to work, and I got to make a living, so you got to do what you got to do, but I try to
counterbalance
I gotta
it.
What's that?
Counterbalance what, that? It. You got to counterbalance. I got to do this. Oh, okay. You want me to do this? Well, I got a couple hours tonight to undo. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I was doing last night, man. Just saying, all right, fine. Here, have a sign. So, and plus when I wear my Trump 2020 mask, that kind of pisses people off. So I say, well, you know, if she's going to force me to wear it, she's going to regret me wearing it. So,
you know, that is, you know, I thought that that would be a bigger thing earlier. You know, it's just now starting to go where a lot of guys are wearing campaign stuff over the mat. You know, I thought if everybody did that, even if they didn't support Trump, and you know, it go away because they're like, nope, you're doing it wrong.
I did too, but I went to order a mask, and it took like 3 weeks. I'm like, I had to really look to find something I could get in a week or two. It's like a conspiracy, right? You know, they're keeping you from ordering these masks.
So it's the little production facility we created in your garage, is it working out well? Is it too much in the way, or is it just convenient to go out and do some emotional therapy, or, you know, how's it working for you?
No, that's it. Emotional therapy. I wasn't feeling good last night, and I went to bed early, and I woke up like 2 in the morning and walked out there, did some signs, and then I went and delivered them. So it's all set up, ready for me to do any time. My garage was being used as a storage until you showed up, and so now it's actually functional for something, even though it's not my car, but, you know, what the heck. It works great for what I need it for now.
Yeah, and our new friend, you know, Al, the young man that we met, you know, doing sine wave, as soon as we set that up and left to go, you know, to sleep in the camper, we hit the corner and boom, they're out there already started. You know, has he got his own crew going now? They're starting to use your stuff to make some more?
He hasn't come over yet. I tried to get a contact with him. I guess he had an issue with his apartment got flooded or something, and so I left. You know, I called him, but couldn't get a hold of him. But I told him anytime, especially Thursdays and Fridays, we would. He's welcome to come over and do signs and, make plans.
Well, what was interesting is that you knew him as a kid. He was friends with your son.
Yeah. He lived just a couple blocks down or over in the across from our school. I live right across the street from the school, and he would come over and several times I remember him coming over. I think I remember taking Josh over there, when they were little kids. So,
yeah, when we took a picture of him, you go, I know that kid.
Yeah, I knew his face. I knew it. You don't forget faces.
Well, that school across. I'm sorry?
I said, I remember that face when he was a little kid, and he's grown up now. That's why masks are ridiculous. I mean, it's just personality. If he had been wearing a mask, he would have never noticed them,
Yeah. The school that's across from you, have they opened yet? I mean, you have a nice school right across the street from you there, a community, just, a little neighborhood school. And are they doing school? Or are they closed? What?
They are doing online school. So, and they might have some special needs that they have come in, but they just got done revamping the whole school and the parking lot and the sewage and water, then the roof, and it looks like a brand new school, but nobody's showing up.
That's interesting. They I bet you they're still taking your property tax for school money. If we're spending a bunch on schools and we got more schools, and then they're just going to this online thing. Your youngest is what, 19? So they're getting a little bit older, but so how is your family doing their day to day? Are they having to mask up too? Are they going to school? Are they doing online stuff? How's it working?
My daughter just started another program in naturopath, some kind of nutritional naturopath thing, and she's busy with that. That's online, and so everything's pretty much online. My son, he's like tired of it. He hates online school, so he got himself a job, and he's working 8 hours a day in construction work, maintenance work. So, and he says he'll go back in the winter if things. Because he wants to be face-to-face with the teacher. He likes the interaction. He can't stand being online.
Yeah, my grandkids, we talk to them on a regular basis. They just decided, six more of them just, we're homeschooling. So their families are, they spend 2-3 hours a day getting through everything, and then they got the rest of their day to do what they want to do. My grandson's learning CAD at 10 years old. To be able to do the 3D printer we got him. So I'm like, good. That's way better. So I'm going to school too. It was Monday Night Football last night or quantum mechanic lecture. Quantum mechanics, it wins.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Come around the world. It looks like people are doing anti-mask protests, stop the lockdown, doing, just at the right time for Trump. Trump, because he did really quick. He shut down, going in the, from China and all that kind of stuff. And then they claimed to be xenophobic, and you get Nancy Pelosi, whatever, it's opposite, whatever Trump does. And Pelosi went to Chinatown. And, everybody, come on down, and it's all good and everything. Then, whoa, now everything's locked down, So right when Trump is kind of going, tell your state to open, and he was in Michigan. He was speaking in Michigan. And he goes, "Yeah, this is terrible. Your governor's so biased. You're biased. You know, you need to open up, everybody open up," and then people are going around in crowds saying open up and so on. It's a timing thing. As whatever you think of Trump, he is not an idiot. And, you know, it's a timing thing. And I'm seeing it happen all over. We watched football last night a little bit, you know, kind of Donna fell asleep, and we did the last couple of minutes of the quarter, whatever. And it was just so surreal. It was just stupid. There's no crowd, and they're piping it in. It was like watching an 80s sitcom. You know, you crank up the laugh track or the cheer, yay! And you see when they kick an extra point or field goal, there's nobody in the crowd. They did everything they could to kind of show, you know, there's not, or they have pictures of people in the end zone or something. It's just weird, you know. And Rick was saying he saw an interview with a player. What did he have to say, Rick?
Yeah. Well, Matthew Stafford was interviewed on Mitch Albom, and they were talking about.
Well, what is he? Is he what position does he play?
He's a quarterback.
Oh, okay, so he's Detroit Lions.
And they were leading, you know, like at 23-6 or something in the fourth quarter. I don't know. But, of course, they in the fourth quarter, and then they ended up losing anyway because that's what the Lions do. He said it was pretty weird because they pumped in the crowd noise over the speakers.
In the stadium. So not TV. You mean like they were making crowd noise in the stadium?
In the stadium.
To an empty stadium. Crowd noise of a full stadium into an empty stadium.
Yeah, and like Mitch Albom, because he's he follows, you know, he does commentary, I guess, for sports, and he was there. He said it was the oddest thing he ever saw. For 31 or 36 years he's been doing it, he said it was the weirdest thing ever. And so it's stupid.
Yeah, I'm you know, so how much longer is stupid going to happen, and then what's after the stupid? And then it's going to be more stupid? Are we on stupid, you know, time? And when is the governor up for re-election there?
I don't know. I don't follow her.
Can't be this year. Just can't.
No, it's not this year. No, I think it's 2 years from now. But, you know, like I care. I don't know. I would guess that it's all going to go away after the election, or it's all going to just, you know, go nuts. It's just one or the other after the election. But something's going to happen after the election.
Yeah, that's one thing that, you know, you're an experienced camper and such, you know, it's like you can, you know, pitch a tent. So how much prep have you, I mean, if things go stupid in Michigan, you know, you start getting the food chain gets jacked up. Well, I mean, how prepared are you guys?
As prepared as anyone else. I mean, I've got storage, food storage, got a basic location of where I'm going if I have to bug out. We got friends up north. I know property place to go up north. That's where I would go, even though it's going to be cold. But I'm used to it. We're all used to it. So that's not, you know, not a big issue. And it's called hunting, you know. There's plenty of deer. There'll be plenty of deer for a little while anyway.
Yeah, that's one thing we'll talk about later. They had a roadkill here that they took up and they skinned it and, you know, got meat from it and did all kinds of stuff up here as a trainer for Luke Radowski. He's getting old man camped up, man. That guy, he's learning to weld and power tools and shoot and everything, skin deer. I mean, within a couple of months, man, he's going to be a mountain man, have to grow his hair long and have a big beard and everything, you know. So this is – a lot of people are thinking this way in Michigan because Michigan is full of hunters. I mean, it is a hunting thing, but it's so anti-gun and they're – I'm wondering where this comes from to have so many problems with the government – in Michigan, because I don't get the, are the people that way, or just Detroit, or what's the, you know, red, blue, purple, whatever mindset. What's going on there?
Well, you know, like you say, there's a ton of hunters. Everybody, you know, just about everybody has a gun. You have the pockets of, you know, I don't know, SJW cities, you know, like Ferndale and Royal Oak and all these little up-and-coming cities that are liberal and, you know, all they've got the Biden signs out. And, yeah, so, well, but I would say majority of us, I mean, it just takes, hunters, I guess, I don't know, they're lazy. They just think everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm going hunting.
They're all set, you know, so they don't go out and do much. But, you know, I think it's changing. And that proved it when we turned red, you know, for Trump in 2016. So,
he won Michigan. Here. He won Michigan. You think he's going to win Michigan again?
I do, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of Trump signs. You know, places you would think would be that's why those are so scared. And the early ballying thing is a big thing in Michigan? You've been getting your ballots for your dog and stuff or what?
I haven't. I don't know that we're getting a lot of that. I heard an interview with the Secretary of State or something who controls that, and he seems to be pretty smart about it and careful. I didn't follow it enough to know if that's the case. They tried to get us to do the ballot mail-in ballot, but I'm going to go in, and I think a lot of people are going to go on. I think Trump fans are going to go in.
You know, people talk about leaving Michigan, I would imagine, oh, I'm going to move. Oh, do they talk that way? And when they talk about going somewhere else, where are they thinking of going?
I don't know. I'm not talking about leaving Michigan. I don't know too many people that Michigan's a beautiful state.
I really enjoyed it.
We have all the seasons, you know, and so it's never the same. It's not, you know, it's all, you know, it's where you want a different climate. Just wait 5 minutes, and you know that's kind of the saying. I went out last night and it was 48 degrees, you know, and now it's probably 65, and it's nice. So a lot of deer as I was putting up signs.
You guys go too hungry. Well, I mean, it won't take long for them to be gone. I remember in the 80s, there was a guy from Russia, and he says, "You guys aren't poor. You still have pigeons." Okay, good point. We'll be right back with Rick Kerp from Michigan, just giving us a, you know, around the country, just snapshot of what's up. You know, we need to talk to some Canadian guys.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Ba-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra- right. I told Rick, I said, yeah, let me get caught up on some of these telegrams you guys sending up there. And I clicked on this one, and he heard it in the background. He goes, is that the Australian one? I'm like, yeah. How the hell did you know? He goes, I just watched it, man. It's scary as hell. This is, we have some pictures up there from our trip. And while we were in, the city councilman there, Mark, that is in, or Mike, whatever, that's in Virgins, Vermont. He has a garden that is just a little garden. It's probably 12 by 30 or something that has tomatoes, he gets 4,000 pounds of tomatoes a year out of that thing. And he went to the front of his house. He just has a nice little outdoor garden with baskets. He just goes out and he picks all the tomatoes by different types that he has. There's probably had, God, 6, 7, 8 different varieties. And he puts them in there, and they're $2 a pound. People just put it in a box and, you know, pace. He doesn't have to do anything other than go pick the tomatoes, puts them out there, and he doesn't even bother with it. And, you know, he's a tomato guy. So in the town, down in your little walking town there, you go down, you get your tomatoes, and you're good. You put a couple bucks in the thing, done. I'm going, oh, that's cool. Well, in Australia, they had an open farmer's market, same kind of thing, and hundreds of police. They mounted police. They had police. They're going in. Everybody's all masked up and everything. They're just doing it. They said, nope, you're not having this open market of food, and you're not allowed. I want to find out more about this. I'm like, what the hell are they doing? Do you know anything about it, Rick?
No, I don't know. I just saw it like you did, but, you know, it's scary as hell. I mean, it's stormtroopers just mowing over these people that are just in the market. It's unbelievable.
That they would even do it. I mean, who are these people that would do this? Of course, they're masked up, and you don't get to see that. Nope, you're not allowed to sell your nothing. And you're just combing through, getting rid of all the customers, not allowed. And, you know, the police got their own, a bunch of them, probably every 12th guy, they got a raised video camera, you know, for prosecution or something. This is amazing. And anybody resisting their arresting, All right. Well, you know, one thing we want to talk about before you went, I know, you know, you left. You're a martial arts guy. You know, you're a fit guy. You got a gym and everything, and they're closed down. So that same thing in Arizona, Mountain Fitness, beautiful facilities. I mean, these are marble and freaking high electronic, super cool stuff. And I'm going, okay, so what do we doing with the gyms? Well, there, a lot of them are just opening, or one guy made it a Republican Party headquarters. Ha, 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 ha. What are you going to do now? So for you and your local area there, how's the gym thing going? Are they open or what?
Well, all the gyms have been closed except those that wouldn't comply, and that was Powerhouse Gym. Powerhouse Gym is a popular gym in Michigan. They started in Michigan. They got several locations, and they've been open, and I don't know exactly how they've been open, but supposedly, or at least I heard, that they are paying the fine up to like $1,000 a day to be open, but you have to wear your mask in and out. Once you're in the gym, you don't have to wear your mask, but you got to wear it in and out. And they stayed open. And that parking lot has been just full of cars the whole time. I think they're just now going to 24 hours because I went by there. I put signs out. And I went by there, I think, on Sunday to check the signs, and somebody knocked them down. They didn't take them. They just knocked them down. And then I went by last night to check them when I went out to put more signs up, and sure enough, somebody put them back up. So I'm like, all right. So I added another sign, and I went on my way. So that might be an interesting story for you, because this guy, whoever owns this gym, went totally against the governor's edicts and kept and stayed open.
It's amazing and interesting. I wonder if you see a pattern in what they really enforce not being open. You know, gyms, physical activity, it seems like it's – if I put on my – psychology hat, it would be like they're wanting to demasculate everything. You know, oh, you got too much testosterone. Oh, you're lifting. I'm intimidated and threatened by people that get in shape, or you're out there paddleboarding on the ocean and you're not social distancing enough, so we're arresting you. I'm like, what? You know, there's some weird psychology going on? Do you see something? What pattern do you recognize?
Well, yeah. We also have a barbershop in White Lake, and I'm going to put some signs out in front of that. That's my next target. And this place has been open pretty much the whole time. You don't have to wear the mask. And, you know, these are the people that aren't asking permission. They're just doing it. They're saying, screw this. I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to ask permission. And I'm just going to do what I normally do. And they're doing it. And that's how these businesses should act. I saw an interview or heard an interview with one of the other gyms, Planet Fitness. That I belong to that thing, so I haven't been able to work out in six months, at least, you know, with weights. And I heard him on the interview, and he says, I don't know why they won't let us open. And I'm like, what are you talking about, won't let us? Just open, you know, quit asking permission. It's stupid.
Is it spreading a little bit? Is there other people that are just, nah, I'm not playing? And then they'll just get a check, you know, a bill for a fine 6 months later of $1 billion or something?
No, I think there's a lot of people that are just afraid, you know.
Afraid of what? Afraid of losing their permission slip or something? What are they afraid of?
Afraid of liability. You know, it's all about liability. I could be liable for somebody who gets COVID and dies or something. It's just ridiculous. I mean, that's what every business owner is worried about, you know, being sued. So, yeah, I don't get it, especially from the state.
You know? Well, you know, this is one thing, your family and you and friends and people, you just do it by yourself. You don't need anybody. But, you know, your plan for the future is what? I mean, you know, there's stages. They're going to door-to-door contact. That's why I'm not giving them my number. Oh, hell no. You know, they're just excuse to come explain it to you. You know, you're a number giver, so hello. And what do you think is going to have that people kind of waiting for the election or what?
I think people are, that's my thought. You know, let's get this over with. Get the election done, see where we're at, and go from there. But, yeah, if it's a door-to-door thing, there's going to be problems. I mean, that's a Civil War type situation.
Yeah, there's going to be pushback. It's just going to see how – because once it starts, they want the – they need the pushback. But I'm trying to be creative in the pushback. You know, they want you to – a resist, and you know it's got to be the 3 o'clock in the morning of all of a sudden there's a bunch of signs, you know, then they're going to come to you, hey, I'm making signs. Well, you're not allowed to make signs. You're not allowed to put them up. You got evidence? I mean, what where's the crime here? I want to see the crime. This is, we got to press. I mean, I'm out here pressing, you know, come get me. And I'm, you know, it's not like it's a secret, you know, they got my phone. Ooh, where's Ernie? Yeah. We need to see if he gave his phone number to somebody. Like, yeah. Rick, thanks for doing what you're doing. Whatever help you need, let us know. And if you want to get one of those big, because you got just some big signs. I mean, you have a couple of big ones. But the one first responders, you want to get a bunch of those, do you?
I want to get the first responder, the small one. It'd be great, at least one of the small ones. And then,
okay. Yeah, we're on it, man. Yeah, we're getting all situated set here to make sure that everybody's supplied. And Rick,
and now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a veered, because we know what's coming. That doesn't mean we're not relatively concerned. Are you getting ready? We've been talking about getting ready. You should be being ready. You know, Jay's going to come in a little bit. He's going to tell us how ready he is. We haven't really talked to Jay while we've been gone. We'll come back. I want to see what's happening in a couple of weeks, because, you know, here in New Hampshire, things are happening. Aria, Jay knows Aria well. We went and did the show with her on Free Talk Live, you know, hundreds of stations. I got to ask all the questions. So you know that they're, somebody's listening to that. We're going to find out how New Hampshire's responding to all that. I think people are very tolerant. And once you show that tolerance, they're going to, they're looking at what they think they can get away with, they, them, those, and it's just, you watch, I'm guilty, you know. Dr. Frank would be all happy. Of all the things that you can watch online, you go and you watch these rallies where Trump is just, you know, giving them what for, and they got tens of thousands of people show up, and then, you know, Biden couldn't get a couple hundred, and it's interesting, you know, when he starts rattling off all the things that they've done and what's pissed off these guys, but where are the chain of arrests? Where's the frog marching? Who's going to jail and why? And how? And I think they're pretty desperate. He gets another term. They're going to have to, I don't know. They're going to do impeachment again? They're going to do, you know, Pelosi's going to be president and all this kind of stuff? We are seeing a color revolution. This is what has been going on around the world. It's a systemic thing. And I'm wondering how much the U.S. government has been involved with the CIA and the regime change of blah, blah, blah. But one of the things, what does Trump say? We're not starting any more wars. And we're ending a bunch of them. And we're bringing guys home. We're done. You know, we're coming home. You'd think the left would be all about that. Anti-war. No, not unless it serves them. I've seen this. During the Iraq thing, they hated George W. Bush. He's bad. But when you say, we just want to leave, they go, nope, phased withdraw, phased over decades of phased withdraw. You know, it was one thing when John McCain, I'm glad Trump is not, you know, wrapping his arms and legs around the legacy of John McCain, because anybody in Arizona knows it was the machine that kept him there. And it was just, he did not have a lot of fans. It was, nope, it was all BS. And I don't trust the system. I don't trust the vote. You know, they're not even going to let, you know, Don and I get a ballot to not vote. I'm going to be a butthead about it. You know, I think that's one thing I'll do today is, you know, call and say, hey, you know, I don't get the vote for president. Well, you got to have an Arizona. Well, I'm Arizona. I'm not Arizona. What difference does it make? I'm American. Do I get America? Do I get America vote? You know, because I'm in an RV, I don't get the vote. I want to know about that. Hell, I'll file a lawsuit just to be able to not vote. I mean, because not being able to vote is different than not voting. I need my vote to, my not vote to count. I want my not vote to count, damn it. I want to have it. Yes, I got it here, not throwing it in the trash. You know, don't lie to me. You know, I want them to say it. And what's happening in Australia is New World Order on steroids, and we're going to show you how it's done. Why Australia? Well, I'll tell you one reason. First thing they do is they disarm you. And that's what happened, you know, a decade and a half ago. You guys may not remember, They were all in a tizzy about how they got a bunch of guns and they destroyed them. Now they just, you know, melting them down. They've done different things like that here in America, in Arizona, in fact. In the mid-90s, the mayor at the time, what was his name? Paul Johnson. You know, he had run for governor and stuff. They always show their head there. They think they're going to be president someday. And I remember he went to Clinton administration. He came back. Yep, that Bill of Rights is just a GD piece of paper, man. Nobody cares about that. You know, they did a survey and asked him, well, should anybody be able to say anything anywhere? No, that'd be bad. You know, anybody have a gun anytime? No, that'd be bad. All the protections that the Bill of Rights, you know, is supposed to give you, you know, it's not important anymore. We brainwashed enough people and maybe not enough. But they keep doing it and keep doing it. So what'd they do? They used to have where any gun that was collected into, they go to the property room, they log it in, serial number, they use it for whatever trial. They got, now they got an extra gun. Well, they used to sell it by auction. You would go in and individually, we got a 357 in good condition here in Canada. Do I hear $50? $50. I hear $100, $100. You know, and the money that they would raise would go to buy ammunition and for training for police officers. That's how they funded, you know, a lot of their training was in the sale of these guns that now we're done with them and we're not going to throw them away. I mean, it's like throwing away hammers. I mean, you know, somebody want to buy this hammer? Here, you know, buy it. So they did. Well, then they got to where, those didn't like that none too much. So, and by doing this, it competed. So who did they go to? The actual BATF regulated gun stores. They go to the gun stores and they say, you know, we're going to make it in lots of, I think it started off in $5,000 lots. You got to buy a bunch of, you know, $5,000 worth, how many guns you get, because they're competing and making more money with individuals buying and participating in the auction. So they go, nope, you got to have an FFL. You got to have a federal firearms license. Well, a bunch of guys had federal firearm license. You could, in the 90s, you could do it out of your kitchen. Yeah, I got an FFL. I can order my friends and do it. Nope. They went after zoning. They go, if you have, it's illegal to operate a business from your home in the city of whatever, so we're not giving your FFL anymore. And I wouldn't want it anyway, because then it gives them the power to come and inspect your blah, blah, blah anyway, so never mind. But we had friends that were FFLs, and when we, you know, see a deal on something or we wanted to, you know, get stocked up on whatever, we just go to our friend and they order it and get it and we're done. Nope, not allowed. So then they had, and you only had to have an FFL, then they went $5,000 increments. Then they increased it to $10,000 because people were still going. Now I got $5,000. I make bank on this. Fine. You want me to do that? I'll do that. Damn it. So then they go $10,000. And the reason was because competition. It was just, you know, you use government to, you know, eliminate your competition. Yep. And then they go, we're just going to melt them down. In the city of Phoenix, there's a big sculpture down there that's made a metal thing that's from melted down, pressed guns. You can see it's a bunch of guns that just kind of got made into a sculpture thing. Well, that was a capitulation to the Clinton administration because they had a Democrat mayor then, and they did, and, you know, the Clinton administration. They're going to take all your guns. Well, whenever you do that, you want to get the people riled up and them a-voting? Second Amendment. So who's coming out? They're not going to take your guns. Trump. You know, Second Amendment, Trump. Well, what are they going to do? We're going to take a little bit of the guns? No, they're out now. They're going, we're taking your gun. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, of course we are. They think they got it on their side. Why do they think that? They just controlled the election. I don't know. We'll get Jay in here when we come back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And Jay Noon. I just got, a secret little email. It looks like Plandemic Indoctrination, the David Knight Show in Studio Tuesday, deliver exclusive interviews. Exclusive interviews. All right, what are we going to find out? I don't know. We're going to find out. Donna's going to be putting this up. There's another one. Donna had, did you watch this video, Jay? Did you see the video that she's doing?
I just saw what Jeff Berwick featured of it on his Dollar Vigilante video this morning.
Yeah, Donna's putting it up on Freeman's Phoenix and get in today's archive show in the second hour, and it's what? I haven't seen it yet. She just telling me about it.
So it's some guy who this woman caught on her land setting a fire, and she basically held
what
him
state?
There at Oregon, I think. The part of Oregon where you can have guns, I believe it is. I don't know if you can do guns like in Portland, but I don't know. I've never even been to Oregon. But I was a firefighter for 20 years. I joined when I was 15, local little fire department. And then when I moved to Colorado when I was about 35-ish, 36, I, you know, wasn't on anymore. Bonsville, Massachusetts. And I had a chat with one of the guys yesterday while I was driving home. I just called him out of the blue because I've been hearing about these fires getting set. And he's one of these dudes, like, he would, every couple of years, he did a smoke jumpers thing, and he'd go out to, like, California and do the wildfires, and he's been down doing some wildfires in other countries, and he's a good guy. And I'm like, hey, what do you think of these, you know, all these fires happening everywhere? I says, you know, so I sent him a, I can't even remember, so I found it on freedomsphoenix.com. It says, our BLM protesters setting wildfires.
Right. So Donna just put this in top story right now. You can go see it.
So, and this was like a couple days ago. So I said, he goes, yeah, I saw that thing that you sent me. And he was like, oh, we've been talking about the station and, you know, so-and-so, some guy I don't even know. He's like, yeah, they've, so he did, so this other guy is part of some kind of like arson thing for like Massachusetts. And there's like a database. And he was talking about that there's, like, multiple people, like, I've been questioned, arrested, suspected. Multiple of these fires have been, you know, the guys, the fire marshals are like, yeah, this is arson. And then in that thing that you had on a couple days ago on Freedom's Phoenix, it was a thing where it starts off with Reagan talking. I can't remember who did the video, but it was Reagan back in the 80s talking about the communists and how they're bad and this, that, and the other thing. And then there was like a black and white video that was from earlier, and it was talking about how the communists said that they were, when I say earlier, it's probably a video from the 60s or the 50s maybe, I'm not sure, I mean, the 60s or 70s. And the guy was talking about how...
Yeah, Edward Griffin interviewed
that's right. So they were saying that they will burn every city, every village, every town, every forest. I think they used the word torch, every city, town, and forest. So, it's like, you know, I live out here in the country. This has been really dry here. This is like one of the driest years I've ever experienced in the Northeast. And, you know, I mean, we're in a grand solar minimum or coming into it. We've been coming into it for a few years. Ice Age Farmer on YouTube talks a lot about that. Pretty good podcast he does. And anyways, I mean, even right around here, somebody, you know, set a fire, it would be problematic, very problematic, because once you... A lot of the things with fire science is like, so if a little fire gets started on the side of the road or something, it usually just kind of burns out because there's just not a whole lot of fuel. You know, the sides of the road get kind of maintained and mowed. And but if you get like, you know, you put some accelerant on the side of the road and you can make a lot of heat, that fire is just going to keep on moving. So,
yeah.
You know, it takes a lot. If you have a lot of heat to get fire going, like, tires, for example, this is why they're so hard to put out, is because there's so much condensed fuel in them. So, you know, we need to be, you know, just kind of vigilant in our own areas of watching this, because, you know, when they're done on the West Coast, you know, are they going to start doing this stuff on the East Coast? Are they, you know, I mean, I see there's a ton of wildfires in Colorado Rockies. And also this is due to poor land management, because you literally can't log in California because of all the, environmental crap. And then environmental terrorism has been a thing for a long time. You know, years ago there was a Hummer dealership that was being set on fire, and there was a whole bunch of people that were, you know, charged for this arson, and they were part of some, you know, spin-off of, you know, green tree hugging whatever, you know, people, and they're doing this to cause it. Just like, you know, hoof and mouth was spread all through Europe when I, you know, in the 90s, late 90s when I was graduating high school. You know, I was very involved in, the feed nutrition, and we started getting all this hay out of Canada that had no market in Europe because all the animals were essentially, they had killed them, and they purposely spread hoof and mouth, and that was eco-terrorism. So, which none of that's ever reported in the media, but that's what really happened. Just like with this anthrax that they said in 2001, you know, they said anthrax was a, some Muslim extremist, and then, it came out of Fort Detrick, Maryland.
Right.
It, 3 weeks, like you always say.
Yeah, you wait a little while, and it really starts to come out. And where do you get the information? It's not from, even Fox, CNN, MSN. It's going to be people.
Do they have military or pharmaceutical advertising? Then they're withholding the truth from you and probably lying.
Right. Yeah, no, I'll give you that. I look at people that are, and it gets vetted by people. It's kind of, a lot, you want to do a hoax of just trying to amp it up or scare people, whatever, and that is not what really happened. And I can see it starting to shift. People are, like this woman here, she goes and she catches an arsonist on her property. She pulls out on the ground. You're lucky my husband's not here. He'd just shot you.
Yeah.
So he's like spread out. Whoa, okay, man, I'm caught. I'll don't worry about it. They told me that they'd get me off anyway. Pelosi raised some money. It's all good.
I mean, somebody's, like that woman could have totally shot him and just, probably, she's a farmer. She got a pickup truck. There's, middle of the forest, nowhere. Probably nobody ever would have, heard nothing about it.
The one thing is that you are justified. I mean, you still got to go to the trial and the prosecutor and all this kind of stuff. But the way the law reads is that in defense of yourself or another person, mm-hmm. Life, and let's see, what were some of the other criteria? But one of them, it was in the act or starting to rape a child. You got a pedophile, boom, problem solved.
Yep.
That's the law in Arizona, as I remember, and arson. If somebody is, doing arson, you shoot them as they got the Molotov cocktail in their hand or whatever, justified killing.
Yep.
Of course, you're going to go through the thing. Mark Victor always says, yeah, that's what the law says. Let me tell you what really happens.
Well,
you know?
Just like the couple, I believe, I don't know where it was, but that. The guy was a lawyer, I guess, and he had the prop gun, and him and his wife were standing out there, and the George Soros-backed prosecutor, went after him. And now I just read on freedomsphoenix.com, actually, the other day that nine of those Antifa guys or BLM guys were getting prosecuted over trespassing on that couple's property. I forget what state it's in, but the guy had the prop gun.
Prop gun.
He had a gun that, like an AR-15 or something that was used for a demonstration piece in a trial, and he had it, disassembled, so it looked like a real gun, but it wouldn't shoot. The firing pin was removed. Him and his wife, they were standing
in Missouri?
Missouri,
that gun wasn't firing?
No, that wasn't a fire. The wife's gun was fired, but not his.
Oh!
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
We don't need no stinking ads when we got flying cars, and I'm waiting. Waiting, airship, waiting. We can just be free and go, and kind of we're done waiting. Now, Jay was telling me he went last weekend to a family gathering in Massachusetts, where you're originally from.
Yep.
And, so you had like 100 people while you were there, probably another 100 people when you left. It was a going concern. Little party and so on, and everybody masked up. What's up?
Well, so it was funny. There was one girl wearing a mask when she showed up, and I got my daughter, and I'm like, "Hey, what's your name? I'm Jay." And she tells me her name. I didn't meet her before. It was one of my brother's friends, and I'm like, "So, do you have a pretty smile?" And I go, "Well, based on your eyes, I can't tell if I made you angry or I made you happy." And I says, let me see that pretty smile. I go, my little girl wants to see your smile. And I'm holding Cypress. And she takes off and smiles. And Cypress just giggles and smiles back. And she puts the mask in her pocket the rest of the day. So I'm like, why are you taking medical advice from pedophiles and war criminals? So I explained that whole thing to her. She had no clue what I was even talking about. What are you talking about? And she's like,
oh, my God, she met Jay.
Right, right. So I give her my business card. She might be even listening to the radio show. I told her about Freedoms, you know, Phoenix.com, this show, you know, Free Talk Live. So while this was going on, I had several friends come up to me that I've known for, you know, 30 years. You know, they're my peer group, kids I grew up with, you know, 5 to 10 year spread, you know, 5 years older or younger than me. I'm 40. And so they were like, oh, I'm going to get kicked. I'm going to lose my job, the one girl said, if there's any, if my picture is on social media without a mask or not social distancing. Another girl said that another couple said that their babysitter will quit. Another one, and the babysitter is going to quit on the parents' demand, essentially. Another one was her dog groomer wouldn't, you know, do the dog. Another one had the stories are various, but there was a couple that I'm going to lose my job, the babysitter. And so there was probably 10 to 15 people came and, like, you know, made this comment to me that, like, you know, they don't want to be. I'm taking, like, some pictures of, you know, the pig that we're butchering and, you know, and the, you know, pig roast and, you know, friends. And
don't get my picture, facial recognition on Facebook of the COVID tracker tracer guys going to come visit me.
So I just pick up my phone, you know, Saturday afternoon. It was, you know, maybe an hour before dark. And I'm like, hey, guys, I'm live streaming on Facebook. And there was just dispersal of about a third of the people. And the rest of the people are just laughing and like, hey, we're not social distancing. And
so you got the video?
I didn't take a video. I just picked up my phone.
Just a phone was the weapon.
Yeah. And
oh,
they're
no,
just
the phone.
So it was like showing up at a dairy farm in Colorado with an ice hat on. All the workers just disappear. seriously.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm from Arizona.
Right.
The restaurant, the threat.
Yeah.
And the restaurants clear out.
Yep.
All the workers, they get texts and phone calls. They're going after that. Boom, and they're gone.
Yep. And I was like, wow, this is really scary. You know, how far are we from Nazi Australia?
That's getting kind of interesting, too.
But everybody I talked to is doing it out of compliance. Everybody I've talked to that was doing it out of compliance. Now, one thing I have realized is there's definitely some people who are blowing smoke. I'll start talking to them about stuff, and they're like, well, Jay, you know, you're carrying a gun. You're kind of intimidating. They just agree with you. Everybody just agrees. Because nobody's really told me, except for one family member, that actually buys this crap, you know, to my face. And then, of course, you know, internet trolls, but, you know, they're irrelevant because, you know, they'll talk how they're going to beat you up and do all this stuff to you, and then when you see them at, like, or they'll scream about something, and then when you see them at an event and you start asking them about it in person, they just run the other way and they want to talk to you. So it's interesting. Like you've been saying, this is going to come about, you know, especially when these, you know, pretty girls start breaking out all over their face, which is happening. I saw a few of these people had, like, a lot of, like, you know, acne. You know, you know, around the mask region. And I'm like, oh, that's because the bacteria can't escape. And, you know, just look at the science of this. And, you know, you have a nose. You don't
vanity,
need a mask.
My favorite sin. They're like, no. You didn't tell me the mask is going to be acne. Screw this. You know?
And then they're like, oh, I got to wear the mask. And then, you know, the stylish mask. And it's like, man, you guys are just a bunch of NPCs. And I had to explain to everybody what an NPC was, you know, a non-player character.
That's the mask I want.
It says NPC?
No, it just has an NPC whole face, man. You just know face. Because that's what it is.
Oh,
it's,
right.
You know, it's just you're not seeing their expressions, their face.
Yep.
They're just, you know, repeat, you know, for the common good, for the greater good. Yeah, but we have for the greater good. But don't you think for the greater good? I mean, they're just repeating what they're told. The NPC, it's non-player characters in video games. They're just like these guys that, you know, have one or two lines that they say, and the whole world has become that.
I tell all the people my age that do things that didn't do video games because, you know, in the 80s, everybody knows what Mario Brothers is. They're like, and I'm explaining to them, I'm like, it's the turtle that walks back and forth. But all it does is just walk back and forth. You know, you can kick it, you can walk around it, you can whatever, shoot it, jump on it. But it just walks. It just does its job, and everybody's being programmed by the algorithm or algorithmic slaves.
Algorithmic slave. Say that three times fast. Okay, algorithmic slave. Whatever. So that's a good description of it. I'm wondering, you know, here, you know, Jay's kind of, you know, the leader of the rule, leave me aloneist example. And Henniker. You're between Henniker and Weir, so you're in nowhere.
You
know,
right?
Nowhere. So when we were here before we left, a lot of the small shops in here, we never wore a mask, and they just don't care. And a lot of people did, you know, probably most people did. Mm-hmm. You know, what's it now? Are they more in compliance and getting stricter? You got to fill out a form? What?
It's been about the same, at 3C's, the place, the lumber yard down in Ware, Country Three Corner, which I ask everybody to give them a 1-star rating for taking medical advice from pedophiles and war criminals. But they are a great store. They have a great deli. They got a great selection. They actually
That's a nice place.
There's two girls in the deli that aren't wearing masks, and there's one guy in the lumber yard saying, I ain't wearing a mask. I told him to fire me. And ask them if they wanted Americans this ADA lawsuit against them for firing me. The guy in the lumber yard told me. But I'm down there rattling everyone's cage. Every time I walk in there, I'm ordering the sandwich that you can't order because, you know, we don't have this anymore. But there's a manager there who's like a total drone. Or somebody in management, because they got all this face mask stuff, and wear face masks, and please wear face masks. And then they tried doing a mask mandate in town. So I went to the select board meeting.
Which town?
Right here in Henniker.
They
wanted
Henniker.
To charge you a $1,000 fine, and they wanted the something about...
So they had what, like a town city hall meeting thing or something?
So they have a monthly select board meeting every month. I wasn't aware of that. So, but this one, somebody actually sent me a text message. They're like, I posted this on your Facebook page, and I see you haven't been on Facebook in over a month. And I'm like, yeah, Facebook, I'm not interested. What's up? Town meeting tomorrow night, blah, blah, blah. It was actually the same night as the new movers party. I was going to bring Luke to the new movers party. And we ended up being at the town meeting till, 10 o'clock, or the select board meeting till 10 o'clock to straighten these guys out. So
Luke videotaping?
No, he didn't come. He was working on other stuff. But I got video of myself and Shallon and another woman that we know in town who's actually a hardcore activist.
You bring Cypress with you?
Oh, yeah. We brought Cypress. Cypress was trying to grab the shiny badge off the cop's chest. There was a cop there. The cop actually congratulated me on the speech I gave to the town. He's like, oh, this is I gave to the selectman. The cop's really upset about this mask mandate. He's like,
they're asking him to enforce it or something.
Well, and the chief of police and all the cops in town said, like, basically sign a thing, we don't want this, we're against it.
Okay, we're gonna hear about it. You're going into the break, and we're on the edge of our seat. What happened at the Henniker town meeting? Jay got to talk. How long did you talk?
4 minutes.
4 minutes of Jay?
Yep.
Oh my God. They're purified. We're going to find out what he said when we come back. Jay News, just a little bit. Henniker, New Hampshire.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And with Jay Noon. All right. Henniker, the town of Henniker, which is how many people?
The book said 4,200.
Okay, so it's a small town. And, you know, Virgin's in Vermont. That's a square mile.
Right.
It's just a little bitty, itty-bitty living space.
I'm super familiar with Virgin's. We went on a baby moon in Middlebury, which is like – Virgin's is like the nearest, like, city or nearest, like, gallon of milk at, you know
– Baby moon? What are you talking about?
So baby moon, it's like, you know, I don't know. It's just – it's a reason to go spend money at Airbnb, like, you know, somewhere because it was the last time we were ever going to be, like, you know, alone as a couple – whatever, it was cool. We went
honeymoon, a baby moon.
Baby moon, yeah.
Hey, you gotta describe this stuff.
I thought
it was a festival or something. I have no idea what you're talking about. So, yeah, it's interesting because it's a square mile, it's a small town, it's like nothing. It's probably, you know, Henniker would be the big town, you know, to them. Mm-hmm. And it's revolutionary, lots of generational, goes way back and before in the 1600 kind of whatever. And his father was also a councilman there, yep. And now he and it goes. So it's interesting to see how they bring in all these grants and agenda, whatever the hell. Yep. And I'm wondering,
I want to expose that right here.
Yeah,
I'm sure
see,
it's happening.
I'm telling you, we walked through, and he's going. It's centered out of Boston.
Yep.
It's these NGOs that go through the top of the pyramid. It all feeds to us, and the LLCs are now going to these towns. Hey, we're not going to be able to pay you back. Might
you know
as well sign this thing. I mean, pardon?
You know what else Boston has?
What?
Federal Reserve Bank.
Of course they do.
They say it's centered out of Austin, San Francisco, Denver. Everywhere there's a Federal Reserve Bank is where all this Agenda 21 UN.
So that's
New World
the hub Order. For the financing.
Well, I mean, it's just, yeah. Maybe it's coincidence.
Well, you know, I bet you that is, well, they're wanting to do, they're, Vermont is partnering up with Maine. You know, they're doing a regional thing. So I'm going, I'm wondering how much, you know, New Hampshire is probably playing a little bit there,
so,
too.
So this regional thing, Sununu. So there was 12 Northeast states that were going to partner up under some UN-financed or UN blah, 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 I don't know. But it was basically over gasoline tax. And it was going to so
a revenue stream for the UN?
I don't know. They but anyways, it was some regional thing. It was all of New England, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, I don't know who else. and this governor... This state here, they put the kibosh to it and stopped the whole thing. And they're like, no, we're not doing that. And then, and they're like, well, the only way it's going to work is you, it's not going to work for Massachusetts, Maine, and Vermont if New Hampshire's not involved because everyone's just going to go to New Hampshire and buy gas.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. so anyways, that was like that was like 2 years ago.
Well, Henniker, you know, I don't want to run out of time. Yeah, Henniker, do they have these low-income housing grant kind of taxpayer-funded something?
There is definitely like a low-income over 55 assisted whatever, and they're always, you know, having to go remove the crackhead grandson from grandma's apartment. You know, is one of the stories. I don't know about it firsthand. I just heard.
So this is. I want to follow this trend, and I guarantee it's happening in all the small. It's every community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is it's like a thing. You know, they come in and we got a grant to rip off your taxpayers, and their money's our money now.
I got a friend who does Agenda 21 presentations, and I actually saw him last weekend, and I talked to him a little bit about this, and he's like, yeah, set up a venue and come up with a date, and he says, I'll buzz up there and do it. He says, you know, he does them at Rod and Gun Clubs everywhere.
Okay, we need to do something before we leave here. We're going to go, and Donna and I plan on breaking out the stuff, set up a station, make a crap load of signs.
I've been telling people about sign-making parties
and
here.
Leave, well, you know, we'll come up with a date. We'll do it here in the next couple of days. I mean, Donna and I are, mm-hmm. you know, we get you guys all supplied up. We'll go get some more stencils at Derek's. We'll go up there, make a bunch more. Luke will go up with us. He wants to go up, and he'll make signs. We'll come in. We'll just blanket the living crap out of Maine and New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So I'm just
– And you know, I got a bunch of
people. We got to do what we did with Michigan, man. We freaking
– You know, if you're interested in going 2 hours south of Massachusetts, my brother would host one at his farm too, and all those guys there that were there were like, oh, yeah, we want signs. We want signs.
All right. But we're gonna hook it up. That's what we're here for. We'll make a thing. But you talk to Henniker. You got 4 minutes and you get like 30 seconds to sum up. You said what?
So I said that from – The CDC's website, here is the source, here is the website, here's the URL on a piece of paper, and they said that 6% of the deaths that they have reported are from COVID-19 alone. Now, side note, I didn't say this. I wonder how many of those people got vaccinated, the 9,200 that are from COVID-19 alone. So the other 94% of the deaths, according to the CDC's own data, says that all the other COVID deaths had two or three comorbidities involved. So a woman in front of me, Kathleen Fargo-Labonte, just a kick-ass activist. She's been hammering this town for 30 years on the nonsense. And she tells me that the Rockefeller are basically the local Brown family, and they're like, you know, all politically corrupt, you know, pointy tail, spiny eared people, or working for those people. Anyways, so I go on about, or so she talks about this article, and she goes, oh, it was from the Daily Mail dot whatever, blah blah or something, and the one lady, her name is Tia Hooper, and I believe this woman's evil. Because she's certainly not stupid, and she can't be this ignorant. So I hope she's ignorant, but it looks more like she's evil. So Tia Hooper, like, shuts down this woman, Kathleen, as she's bringing up this article, as it's like she's rolling her eyes like, you know, a millennial and, like, you know, that kind of attitude as a, you know, sitting town selectman. So I got up there and I said, oh, here's from the CDC. Here is a thing, you know. This is all I said. This is about compliance. It's not about safety. I talked about how, this is to destroy small businesses. This is, to divide families. This is, I can't remember everything I said, but a town selectman at the end, I don't even know his name. He said, well, when I walked in the door here this evening, I was going to vote yes on this. And I have been persuaded to vote no. And he looks right over where I'm sitting, looks right at me when I said it. And I was standing there holding Cypress, and I was next to the cop. And the interaction with the cop was great. The cop, he was like, kind of like, he gives me a little nudge. He's like, yeah, man, you did a great job. But as soon as I was done and I walked back out, I walked back to the back to hold my baby. Cause she doesn't like just sitting there, the baby. The cop just chatting me up about, you know, oh, these extremist left liberals. And, you know, I think the guy kind of likes Trump, but, they are very much against his mask mandate. They're very much against the social distancing and,
cause they're tip of the spear. They're going to have to enforce this, do the Australia thing.
We talked about Australia, me and the cop. And, He's like, well, that can't happen here. You know, he goes, everybody in this town, almost everybody I know is a hunter. Almost everybody's a sniper. Almost everybody I know has got all kinds of guns. He goes, it broke my heart, you know, to see the people of Australia get disarmed years ago.
Yeah. So the council took a vote?
So the council took a vote, and the mask mandate failed 3-5. Oh, so when we showed up there, it was supposed to be like $1,000 fine if you didn't were not wearing a mask. It was supposed to be $1,000 fine to the employee and to the owner of a business if a employee was not wearing a mask.
Where did they come up? Somebody told them to even put this up.
It's basically the same thing that they did in Nashua, the same thing they did in Portsmouth. Plymouth, New Hampshire. It's just like, so all these towns are municipal corporations, and they all have a corporate charter that's a boilerplate that was basically created in the 1920s under the Uniform Commercial Code. If you start reading all these corporate charters, the town charters, city charters, like the Keene City Charter.
Yeah, 1 minute, man.
Yeah, all the towns and cities, the town of Palmer, town of Keene, Manchester, New Hampshire, Concord, New Hampshire, Boston, Massachusetts, they have the same exact charter, same boilerplate. They just put in Boston or Keene or Palmer or whatever. And so this is all top-down stuff. This is all coming directly from the thing. And the one thing I forgot to ask about the town meeting is how much money they are going to get from who for this mask mandate. But they changed it from a mandate to a resolution to where it wouldn't be enforced. And I mentioned this is the frog boiling the frog in water. And as soon as somebody isn't watching you people, you're going to add the $1,000 fine and make it a mandate, make it enforceable, because that's what you do. And they call it temporary. I said, yeah, temporary, like income tax, right?
So this is still progressing forward.
Well, no, that ended. But even locally, people have been shaking my hand. I don't even know. That's Jay Noon. He stopped the mask mandate. Guy said it to me down the store the other day.
We need to follow this through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just as an example.
Next board meeting, I'm going to be at it.
Which is when?
I got to look.
It always takes a Rick from Michigan. You know, it takes a Jay Noon from Hanniger.
Yep.
It takes a Bernie and Donna, going around.
Yep.
Up here.
Yep.
We got, Derek. And Scott, it doesn't take that many. We're going to force.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Hancock here at J. Noon's in Henniker, New Hampshire, where we have Aria DiMezzo on the air. Now, she got, man, you know, lots of attention. Here, late, I go, oh, we knew this was coming. You know, I was talking to Aria up at Pork Fest, and Ian, and they're, you know, they have a plan. They knew what they were going to be doing. And, you know, Aria doesn't know who Tim Pool is. He's like, you know, Tim Pool, who's that? What? You know, you hit the big time. You know, I tell you, you got the Sun in the United Kingdom, the Daily Mail. You had lots of attention, and Tim Pool was just oozing all over this campaign. He was like, "This is the greatest thing ever," because he's going, "Look, it's just all a game." You know, well, you know, Ari's going to take advantage of this. There's going to be some sharing of whatever. You know, they're. I got a whole bio here, and I'll let Aria introduce herself. Now, what Donna, do you have our previous interview from Free Talk Live in the show notes? You go into today's archive. Jay Noon and I think it was March or something, we went on Free Talk Live a couple yep. hundred stations with Aria, and I got to ask all the questions. All right. Now, Aria's cool. She goes, yeah, you can ask all the questions. I want to know everything. You know, your transition, you know, male, female, and how and what, and surgeries or not, or chemical, yeah, everything. You want to know all that crap, go over there.
Yeah, Aria's an open book. She ain't got nothing to hide.
So this was awesome. You want to get all the, you know, we don't have time for that today, but I suggest you go listen to that. You get to know Aria and philosophy and how she's doing. We don't agree on everything, but pretty much. I mean, you know, we're in line. So, Aria, you know, Jay, before you got to go, say hey to Aria and ask whatever you want, and we'll get into it.
Hey, Aria. Awesome. Big supporter. You're doing a great job. You're getting attention. I got friends in Colorado and friends in California that are like, hey, you know this trans chick? One guy I used to farm was like, I hear there's a queer running for sheriff out in New Hampshire. I says, oh, there's... I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know that redheaded chick that you're buds with. This is, oh, yeah, yep, she is. And I'm like, what do you think about that? And he's a guy like, you know, he would smoke weed, but not in front of the other conservatives because he didn't want them knowing, but they all smoked weed, but they didn't want anybody knowing that they smoked weed. And he's like, I can't believe she got as a Republican. This is going to be so much fun. That's all he had to say about it.
All right, so Aria, are you starting to feel that you're getting more support for your effort than you thought, or is it you just hearing all the criticism, or what's your view on it?
Well, it's been interesting. You know, I didn't expect it to explode in the way that it has, not by any means. I expected some media coverage just because, you know, it's a wacky story, but I didn't expect it to, you know, go international or anything like that. Most of the messages that I've been getting, they've been overwhelmingly positive.
And why?
There is some criticism.
Yeah, you know, there's going to be criticism because critical. But mm-hmm. the support has been centered around why. Why do you think?
Most people love that, you know, I showed how ignorant the average voter is. A lot of people are supporting me because, you know, I'm the High Priestess of the Reformed Satanic Church. Others are supporting me because I'm trans. Others are supporting me because I'm libertarian. It's a nice... I don't know if you've seen it, but someone made a meme of the political compass, and it has me at the center, and it's just this giant swirling mess.
Okay, that was another thing. I saw this. It was anarchist, atheist, Satanist. Where'd the Satanist thing come in? What does that mean?
A Satanist is an atheist who is intentionally trying to make people angry or is intentionally trying to get their attention and jar them out of their slumber or their stupor. And I use it for the same reason I call myself a shemale, for the same reason I call myself an anarchist instead of a voluntarian.
Okay, I mean, you don't have goat heads in your room sacrificing goats or Luciferian, whatever the hell. I didn't know that about you. I mean, is that so? You're just using it as a shtick or what?
I'm a Satanist, yes, but Satanists don't believe in any sort of actual entity. It's not like I actually believe Lucifer or the devil exists or any of that nonsense. I'm part of the Reformed Satanic Church, which is with schisms from the main Satanic Temple, because they are all about the ritual, not animal sacrifices. They don't do that. That's all Hollywood mythology and Satan scares from the 90s.
Okay, so you're not, you know, conjuring up and worshiping of the whatever to get the evil hand of whatever the hell. You're just playing. I don't know, man. What? Explain it to me. When I saw the Satanist thing up there, I'm going, is this just more fuel? I mean, she's just dumping it on there, you know. So what's that about?
Satan. Well, you got to consider the story of Christianity, right? It's a mythology, first of all. I mean, I don't believe there's any truth to it whatsoever, but the mythology of Christianity is that Yahweh, God, created human beings effectively to be robots, to worship him, to praise him, and not think for themselves. According to the story in Genesis, God intentionally denied humanity the knowledge of good and evil, and he put it instead on this tree, and he said, if you eat this fruit, you will die. And Lucifer came along, the light bringer, just like Prometheus did, bringing humanity fire. Lucifer came along and said, that's not true. He's just trying to keep you a slave. Eat this fruit, and you'll be able to think for yourselves.
So Lucifer was an anarchist. And that's
why Lucifer was a libertarian. He was thrown out of the commune. Okay, I get it. I get it. So it's an act of rebellion. It's a support of the rebellion, yeah, against the mind control of you got to worship or whatever. Okay, I get it. So this is a so other than that, I just get that out of the way because I didn't know whatever. So I get it. So you're not, you know, the deity of Lucifer or whatever. You're just not wanting to be imprisoned by a deity worship of Igata. So call me Satanist if you want. Whatever. All right. So get that out of the way.
I like the mythology of Lucifer, right?
I'm sorry?
I like the mythology of Lucifer. Powerful mythology.
It's better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven, kind of thing. Milton deal, I get it. Okay.
Sort of, but I mean, libertarianism, anarchism, they're all about rebelling against arbitrary authority that we don't submit to. Just simply because a god or a king told us to obey, we're supposed to obey. Lucifer rebelled against that.
Wow, man, you're going to start your own denomination. You know, this.
I guess. It's called the Reformed Satanic Church.
It's called the what?
The Reformed Satanic Church.
Oh, man, this is just on all cylinders. Okay, so the support that you're getting, well, the opposition, you know, we're going into break in about a minute, but, you know, the opposition, is it contextual? I mean, is it like on any policy or just because of what you represent or who you are or they don't like your hair color or something? I mean, what's the opposition centered around?
I don't know, man. I have better things to do in my life than go to Fox News and read those 14,000 or whatever many comments there are of people hating on me. I've got better things to do. They can spew all the hatred there they want. Most of the emails I get, most of the people who oppose me aren't going to take the time to email me. They're just going to post it on their Facebook or their Twitter or whatever, and I'm probably never going to see it. Simply because the volume of things coming at me right now is so overwhelming that I don't have the time to check.
We're going into break, and when we come back, I want to talk about what policies you are advocating. When it gets down to really care, you know, you come on this show, you go on Tim Pool's, you know, you get interviewed by Luke, whatever, you know, all these guys, and we've had long conversations. So I'm just wondering when the real issues of the sheriff start to come out, what's going on now? Do they even want to talk about it? You got their attention. What are you telling them? We're going to find out. Aria, when we come back, just a little bit.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Aria DeMezzo. You know, Aria, pronounce your last name. You know, I'm going to make sure I'm doing it right.
DeMezzo.
Okay.
DeMezzo, yeah.
All right. Now, the first time I met you was at a Porcupine Freedom Festival probably, 4 or 5, 6 years ago. It was a while ago. And
no, it wasn't that long ago. It was 3 years ago.
That was it? It seems like I've known you longer. So you came from down south somewhere, Alabama, Louisiana, something. Where are you from?
Mississippi.
Mississippi. So Mississippi, yeah. You came up with Will Colley. I think you guys came together with his family or something. Somehow you knew each other back there. So tell me how you wound up in New Hampshire.
Oh, God, man, that's a weird story. So I just wrote something online one day, right? And it happened to catch the attention of Will Colley, who shared it and invited me on his show, The Call to Freedom, which was on Sunday nights at 10 p.m. So I went on his show. He liked what I had to say. He invited me back, and then he invited me back again. And then it was kind of fuzzy. I wasn't sure if he was wanting me back the next week, because this was 3 weeks in a row that I had been doing it with him. So I didn't connect to it, and he messaged me like 10 minutes in, like, hey, where are you? Come on to the show. So after that, he officially made me a co-host, and he invited me up to, he said, I've got an extra ticket for the Fulton Park Freedom Festival. Why don't you come up with me and my family? And I said, okay, sure, I'm not doing anything else. Might as well. And so that brought me to, I'd never heard of Free Talk Live. I had never heard of the Free State Project. I'd never heard of the Porcupine Freedom Festival until he invited me to it. I'd never heard of you or Ian Freeman or any of these other people. I had no idea this was going on here.
You know, what's interesting is you came up and you come into this big festival, a couple thousand people, probably at least 1,000, you know, at the time. And you come in and you have, female hairstyle. You're wearing makeup. It's colored. Mm-hmm. You kind of have feminine clothes on. You know, you can see that you're transitioning. And how were you treated? You know, what did you think? Are you comfortable? You know, people talk to you? What's up?
Well, there's a reason I moved to New Hampshire, right? And there's a reason I came back to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, because there at Forkfest prior to it at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which occurred afterward, I had never felt more at home and more welcomed by anyone. And so the moment I got there and I began just being welcomed and accepted for who I was the moment I was sold on moving to New Hampshire.
Now, the thing is this campaign, that's why you got the attention. You know, and a lot of times, you know, the libertarians, you know, the real libertarians, not this party crap, but, you know, these superficial life choices, I don't care. You know, my thing is, are you a leave me aloneist? Are you going to use the collective power force of the sheriff department to make and mandate and do and respect my authority or not? And when it gets to down to these issues of this campaign, you know, what are you articulating to people? How are you using this opportunity?
Well, the sheriff is the highest law enforcement official in the county. And New England borrows a lot of its laws and policies about what sheriffs can and can't do from England. It gets different when you get out to the West Coast or things like that, but historically the power of the sheriff was almost complete within that
ultimate
county.
They're the highest ranking. That's why you have prison riots or something in the federal, whatever. The sheriff's in charge. You know, the sheriff is atop the sheriff. So this is a very powerful position, and it can be scary to some of the, you know, the bad guys of what the sheriff can do. What are you going to do? What are you advocating for?
Right. So it is an elected position, which means the only people who I actually answer to are the people who elected me. Mm. Instead of policing those people, I will police the people policing those people.
Ooh.
Me as sheriff and my deputies, we will be policing the police. When we see a police officer pulling someone over at 2 a.m, we're pulling up behind them. We're asking that cop what he's doing and why he's bothering this peaceful citizen. When they arrest people for drugs, we're arresting the cops for kidnapping. When Donald Trump or Barack Obama sets foot in Cheshire County, they're going to jail for war crimes. George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, any of them set foot in Cheshire County, they're going to jail for war crimes.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. And
The FBI is not coming here to arrest anyone if I'm sheriff of Cheshire County.
Now, this has been articulated on your websites. Is it, part of your campaign? What's your slogans? And you got signs coming. Jay's like, yeah, get me some signs. We'll put up some signs. So I'm just going, all right, so what do they say on the signs?
Well, I have many, many signs and many designs and many more in the works right now, many more coming. T-shirts, bumper stickers, all of that. Wells Fargo actually closed my business account yesterday, presumably. It's not related, but the timing of it suggests that, oh, hey, the Reformed Satanic Church, this is their high priestess. She's making international headlines. Let's go ahead and close the Reformed Satanic Church's business account. So that happened yesterday. So at the moment, I can't order those things that I was going to order. So, you know.
But did they take your money?
That's unfortunate.
They take your money?
They're holding it. They said they will mail me a cashier's check.
Yeah, it's your money. You just can't have it now.
Yeah, but they said it could take up to 110 days. So
of course it does.
Why I don't have, So I don't have T-shirts or bumper stickers coming. I hope to have that worked out at some point today.
Okay, so is there a campaign, just for them shutting down your free speech and your money? That's rich. Okay, so what's the campaign webpage and how people support or whatever? Give all that out.
The best way to find the website is fpolice.com, EFFpolice.com. That will take you to it.
EFFpolice.com. You know, that was one thing. Oh, that's right. I saw the sign. It said, you know, F, star, 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 you know, asterisk, whatever, the police. Okay? F the police. So why was that a campaign slogan? Why? What's police? Why? You run for sheriff.
Because I thought the words itself would be a bit too much to be putting up signs all over Cheshire County. So I went with F the police instead of, you know, don't know if you're allowed to say it.
Okay, so he didn't go full Monty, but I'm just like, you still got the same sentiment. What does that mean?
It means screw the police. They are violent thugs. It's a criminal enterprise, and they're the lowest level of enforcers of this criminal enterprise that calls itself the state.
Well, then, yeah, and you're running for sheriff, so I'm just like, is this a legitimate position to have? Or, you know, F the police, except the sheriff?
Yes, because,
or, I mean, what?
Well, yes. Like I was saying, you know, earlier about the role of the sheriff historically, the sheriff isn't really supposed to be doing a whole lot of policing as we understand it today. The police as we understand it today shouldn't exist. I should be going out and investigating crimes that aren't brought to my attention. If someone wants me to go and look into something, that's one thing. But just going out, it's like a fire department going out looking for fires. They don't do that. If there's a fire, someone notifies the fire department, they come out there and they handle it. That's what sheriffs and police should be doing. But instead, we have this entire apparatus where the police, they go out.
Peace officers! Peace officers!
Yeah.
You know, they to protect and serve... you know, it's a cookbook. this is interesting. Aria, thanks for coming on. We'll be right back with Aria and ask some more pointed questions. You know, how campaign appearances, is that starting? Is that going to be a thing? Somebody going to debate them? The Republican Party disown it and say vote Democrat? I don't know. We'll find out with Aria.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Aria DeMizzo. All right, this is the headline from Law Officer Training Tactics Technology, lawofficer.com. I don't know if you even know this. You do a search and it comes up. Yeah, you would think. Okay, now this is how it's being played. Transsexual Satanist Anarchist Mock System by winning GOP nomination for sheriff in New Hampshire. Okay, so you got to have that headline. A self-described transsexual Satanist anarchist has won the Republican nomination for the sheriff's job in Cheshire County, New Hampshire. A victory, the candidate says, proves the system is utterly and hopelessly broken. Aria DeMizzo, who ran with the campaign slogan F the Police and fully expected to lose to a write-in candidate, won the nomination for Cheshire County Sheriff on Tuesday. The victory was first reported by inside sources. In a Friday blog post, DeMizzo declares opposition to a system that allowed thousands of people to walk into a voting booth and vote despite knowing absolutely nothing about the person they were nominating to the most powerful law enforcement position in the county. I'm running for sheriff because I oppose that very system, and the sheriff has the most hands-on ability in Cheshire County to oppose that system, DeMizzo said. The system that let you down by allowing me, the freaking transsexual Satanist anarchist to be your sheriff candidate is the same system I'm attacking. I'm sorry, and I know it hurts to hear, but that system is a lie. The entire thing is a lie. It's broken from beginning to end, and my existence as your sheriff candidate is merely how this reality was thrown in your face, the mocking candidate said. Inside sources reported that DeMezzo will not campaign against popular incumbent Democrat Eli Rivera, who is seeking a fifth term, blah, 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 blah. They
let
go
me,
on there.
Let me stop you there.
No. That's what I wanted to ask right there. Not campaign against popular. I didn't get that impression from you.
No, I'm absolutely campaigning against Rivera. As soon as this news broke and I saw that Fox News had claimed that and they linked to one of my posts about it, I immediately went onto my campaign website and said, this is not true. We are absolutely campaigning against Rivera. 100%.
Oh, they did. Why would they say that? Why would they? Inside sources say, why would they say that?
I don't know. I tend to think it was... I tend to believe the best of people, so I think it was probably just a mistake. I do a lot of typing, and it's not at all difficult to accidentally type not when you didn't mean to. When you say the candidate will run against, it's very
okay.
Easy
well,
to put
you
a
know,
not
you get some support here. It says Marilyn Houston, the chair of the Cheshire County GOP, congratulated DeMezzo for the victory and said he did very well with the primary, and that was wonderful. Houston continued to refer to DeMezzo as he, even though the candidate claims to identify as female. Aria really came into the Republican Party because he was unable to get into a Libertarian ballot, blah, blah, blah. So this is that an issue? They you know, the pronoun thing, is that going to be an issue in the campaign?
No, people can call me whatever they want.
See, that's one thing I like about Aria. Yeah, whatever, man. That's your thing. You know, I don't care. You know, this is talking. Let's not waste ink on that.
Yeah. I mean, she can call me whatever. Marilyn, he can call me whatever he wants, ultimately. And it doesn't make any difference to me. The same article from Fox News suggests that Marilyn actually reached out to me, but he didn't. That's complete, utter falsehood. There's been no contact from the Cheshire County GOP or the state of New Hampshire GOP. And Marilyn, I don't know what to say. He definitely has not contacted me. He hasn't wished me a congratulations or anything. And I don't expect one. Why would I expect one? The very first thing I did when I got the news was go on the attack about how these people went in there and voted for me despite knowing nothing about me.
Okay, now the candidate garnered 4,211 votes, easily beating a traditional candidate who received only a few hundred votes. And that was by write-in? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not exactly – I've never claimed this was a victory or a win or anything like that. It's like I was the only option. The concern – I expected to lose –
because it had an R. You got an R after your name. Boom, pull the lever, push the button, touch the pad.
I know, and that's freaking terrifying, man.
Well, 4,200 votes. How many votes were there in the sheriff race in all?
I didn't check all in all. I think – the last time I had looked, it was about 75% of Republicans had voted for me.
Wow.
Another 10 to 15% had not voted for anyone, and 10% or so had written in Rivera, who's the Democratic candidate, or Earl Nelson, who chose not to run this year.
You know, that is, I think you handled this well. You know, it's like, hey, man, this is how the system works. You guys, you know, this is, you know, this partisan politic thing. You wind up with, sexual transvestites from Transylvania. I'm like, okay, you know, you want to play. Now, how many opportunities as this kind of buzz, you know, hits, how are you using it? What are you trying to teach people? Vote for you?
Well, my main message, that's why I immediately wrote the article once this started blowing up. My main message to people was, you know who you're voting for. If you look at my ballot, from the primary, which I posted online, and people were, you know, spreading it. The only people I voted for are people I either knew personally or were me. I knew everyone I voted for. If I didn't know who they were, I didn't vote for them. That's how everyone should be. That's the main message here, that people should pay attention to who they're giving power to.
Well, especially in New Hampshire, because they have so many. It's a small population state, but it has in the House representatives like 400 and something, 500. I mean, it's a lot of people. So you only represent a few thousand people at that.
Yeah, I think it's one representative for every 3,500 people in New Hampshire.
So, man, you see him at the grocery store. What's up? You know, where the real power is Carla Garrick. You know, she's been, a prominent elite of the Free State Project here. And she's running for the state senate.
She is not a fan of me.
No, of course not. You know, she's more mainstream of kind of, don't scare the horses type. But she's running for...
Yeah, but Fox News didn't run a headline about her victory, did they?
Right. Now, don't get me into tactics here. She's doing the traditional running for the state senate, and there's only like 24 or something. It's a couple of dozen people. That's where the real power is in the senate. And, the power to, screw you. But so how's her campaign going? Do you know anything about it?
I mean, as far as numbers or polls or anything like that, I have no idea. I mean, this whole thing is crazy. I've got Republicans voting for Democrats. I've got Democrats promising to vote for me. I've got people who have never voted before promising to vote for me. I've got people who are Democrats putting up my signs. I've got people who are Libertarians putting up my signs. And even some people who are Republicans putting up my signs. So I don't know.
Good. Sign everywhere, sign. You know, this is one thing that I want to know. You say, you win. You know, this is, it's not beyond possibility here. You win. I'm just wondering.
Definitely not. Everyone in Cheshire County knows who I am now.
Yeah. No, okay. So now my question is, the thing is, they're going to go, how am I going to be sheriffed by this person? Pretty much not. You know, we're just going to protect your individual rights and peace. And they're like, okay, I'll vote for that. I don't care what color your hair is. But I got a very important question that maybe not everybody's thought to even ask. You ready? You ready? Here we go. You ready?
Yep. Absolutely.
So, one, I got two questions. One, are you going to be wearing the sheriff uniform? And two, is it going to be a male or female cut?
Well, if I was to wear one at all, it would be a female uniform. But I would not wear one.
Yeah, no, because, what would you wear?
I would just wear my normal clothes.
Aria said she's going to wear her normal clothes. So it's
that special uniform they have with the judges' robes and the police officers and their uniforms and their badges and their stripes. And, that's part of the entire state religion.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
You have to respect this person. They're in a uniform. You have to respect that person. They're in a robe. You have to stand up for them. No, I'm not doing any of that.
That's one thing is that
I won't even wear the stupid sheriff's badge.
You know, this is one thing.
It's not necessary here in Cheshire County.
Well, yeah, they're going to know. They're going to know who you are. Yeah. They don't need the badge. They got the colored hair. I mean, when we come back, we'll talk about how you would sheriff. That position, you understand it probably more than most candidates for sheriff. So we're going to find out what the power is, how it would be wielded, and what the people of Cheshire County would benefit or not benefit. We're going to find out real politics, what happens when Aria wins. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
Here we go.
And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, we got Aria on running for Cheshire County Sheriff here in New Hampshire. And this is the first show that she's done. That she hadn't done, even though she's on Free Talk Live, which is on a couple of hundred radio stations, she takes at least, I think you do, Wednesday nights or something? Tell us your schedule over there and if that's going to continue during the campaign.
Yes, I host Free Talk Live on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. I have no intention of putting that on hold. I expect tonight's show will be highly listened to, probably more so than most. I expect it to be a fun and exhilarating show. People can find it at freetalklive.com. I have every intention of continuing to do it. I'm overwhelmed at the moment, but I expect most of this to die down within a week or so. And then it's a matter of doing something, unexpected.
Showing up in the polls and putting signs up. That's what's going to be unexpected. They're going to be going, what the hell?
That's way more effort than I want to do. Or it's effort in the wrong direction for me. I don't intend to put up signs in the polls or anything like that.
No. You got signs coming. I got people, they want to put up signs. What the hell? You got, how many signs you got coming?
A few hundred.
Wow, that's freaking enough. Okay, so you have.
Oh, yeah, it was successful. I dropped $1,600 on signs last week.
Boom. All right. Now, this is interesting. I'm sure other deputies. Now, do you know how large the county sheriff force is? How many deputies are there?
I do not know.
So this is when you become sheriff, you know, of course, it's going to be addressed to troops, and you're going to go, look, you're all fired, or we're all going to go out and protect the, you know, the pursuit of happiness of everybody. My policy is, and, you know, and then some will, I'm resigning because I can't hold my head up, blah, blah, blah. After all is settled, what are you expecting the deputies to do? What's policy changes?
They will probably quit the moment that I'm sworn in. In which case, job well done, I lock the doors and go home. Right?
Yeah, no, they're going to stay. They want to see what, you know, they might even like what you want them to do or not do. What would that be?
Well, they will effectively have two options because by being the sheriff, I'm their boss, I'm their employer. I will give them the options of staying in the office and playing Minecraft or Nintendo Switch or whatever it is they want to do to occupy their time while they're not out harassing people, or they can police the police. Those are the two options. You can sit here and leech off of taxpayers and play Minecraft, or you can go out and police the police, or you can quit.
So police to police. So you'd be like on patrol for local law enforcement pulling people over. Just go
and state troopers and state troopers in particular.
Really? All right, go represent. You know, go out there and, you know, kind of, you know,
well,
just be a...
These people have stalked me. I'm not the only one making this allegation. It's documented that they stalked me for an extended period of about 6.5 months, not long after I got to New Hampshire. They went out of their way to set me up where I couldn't pull out from where they were following me at. And they've done this again recently.
They stalked you? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Really?
They wanted me. They put a lot of effort into finally pulling me over. And they finally did it. They did. Good on them. And they gave me a stupid ticket. And that was it. Because they couldn't get anything else done.
A ticket of what? What?
Well, back then I was doing sort of a right to movement test. So they ticketed me for having expired registration.
Got it. Okay.
It was like a year old at that point, a year of being unregistered, just driving around.
Yeah, this is, the proper role of government is a big thing with me. That's why it's declare your independence. The purpose of government is defense of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish. It's your right, your duty. So that's how I look at government. Anything that you're doing is there in defense of my rights, not being the one making me stay in my house, forcing me into a lockdown, making me put a, you know, diaper on my face, making me, you know, sign a COVID contact tracing form to camp or go to a restaurant of the blah, 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 not threatening my business with losing license that I should have had to get to anyway. And, you know, I mean, all this stuff, I go, that is not the role of government. The role of government is to protect individual rights and everybody's pursuit of happiness. You know, it's like leave them alone, quiet enjoyment of their whatever the hell, just leave them alone. Leave me aloneism. So I would think that's from talking to you, and I know you well enough to know that's kind of your mindset. And if you need, you know, a fire put out and help and kind of, you know, that's what the sheriff's for. I'm here. We're going to get some. But other than that, we're here to protect. I'm wondering that articulated if there's sheriff deputies that they've been waiting for that. I would think if I was a sheriff, thank God, man, I'm tired of being the bad guy all the time. I want to be the good guy. Turun, turun. You know, I'm as welcome as the fireman is. Because when you call the fireman, you know, they come and you're glad they're there. If law enforcement was the same way, I'd be awesome.
Yeah. I have never been glad to have police show up at my house, though, ever.
Yeah,
I've never been glad to have a police officer driving behind me. I've never been glad to see a police officer, period.
Oh, I tell you this, Anaria,
I'm not to say I wish them harm because I don't, but they need to stop aggressing against people because no one likes them because they're out there aggressing against
them. When I was a kid, my dad was a deputy sheriff in Pasco County in Florida when I was a kid, you know, for a while. And he sold his business, became a deputy sheriff, then we moved to Arizona. And I think it was because of that that we moved. I don't remember. It was whatever. It was adult stuff. I'm 11 years old. But what happened was when we would have a policeman behind us, you know, my grandmother's driving us around, or hi, we wave and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, you didn't have to have seatbelts on, so you get up in the back window and whatever. So we're waving, and they wave back. You know, it's all good. My grandma would get nervous, and what she was nervous about was whether the, you know, they even had tint on windows back then. And she's going in the 60s, and she's going, you know, she's all worried about what's wrong. Well, I don't know if my tent's too dark or something. I'm going, why? So you can see it. No, because they can't see in or something. I'm like, then it started dawning on me. What the hell? You know, you're afraid of the police? I'm watching Andy Griffith, man. You know, I'm thinking, what's up? Then it was a few years ago. It was probably, you know, about 2010. I come off the freeway, and there was a motorcycle highway patrolman in front of me, or police. It was a police motorcycle in front of me on the off-ramp of the freeway. And the license plate frame that went around it, it said, smile, I could be behind you. And that pissed me off that they even know it and make fun of it. And then I called the precinct, and I said, look, I never called this guy. That just pissed me off. That they would, you know, throw that in your face, smile, I could be behind. I go, the fact that someone had the mindset to do that, I'm not sure what they were saying. I just want you to know that I didn't like it. Peace out. You know, that mindset, that little kids now, they see law enforcement is under ARIA's administration of the Sheriff's Department of Cheshire County, New Hampshire. It'd be little kids waving at the sheriff as the good guys. Is that what we got to look forward to?
I really hope so, Ernie.
That would be a campaign right there. You know, the kid, you know, waving at the good guys. We'll go back to waving at the good guys. We'll be glad you're there. You'll be glad a sheriff's behind you. The vast majority of you, if you're a bad guy, you know, whatever, it's a whole nother thing. But good guys, glad it's a don't worry, it's okay. It's a Cheshire County sheriff deputy. See my point?
I do. And unless someone has committed a violent crime or a crime that actually has a victim, they're not a bad guy. Somebody driving around with their vehicle uninspected, or somebody speeding, or someone smoking pot, or whatever, they're not bad guys. They're just making a choice for themselves. The government has simply decreed that it's going to be illegal, and realistically, all of those prohibitions and regulations and requirements are unconstitutional in the first place, and the sheriff's highest allegiance is to the Constitution.
Do you get a lot of requests for interviews? You got them stacking up? They want to talk to you?
Yeah, it's getting pretty busy. I've actually got a campaign manager scheduling them for me now because I can't keep up.
Yeah, no, Tim Pool has talked to you, man. He's your new bestest buddy. You know, I'd suggest you do that. That'd be awesome. You know, I don't care. This is going to be interesting. I'm glad that you outed the system, how it really works. It's just, you know, a lot of times libertarians are going, yeah, we just run a Democrat, Republican, whenever they just leave a race open, you just run, you're going to get 35% of the vote. You know, you get a little extra informed, you know, you start winning, which is what I think they're worried about. Need to control the property. So a lot of mail-in voting going on in Cheshire County, you think?
More so than usual, but not like the probably found in other places. Because this is New Hampshire, and the COVID cases are very, very low, in addition to the people of New Hampshire generally having...
Aria DeMezzo!